Amen. Tonight, 1 Peter, a look inside Jesus' inner circle. This first paragraph is personal for every single one of us here tonight. Those who are listening to this podcast is important to you. Here's what I want you to do. You've got some margin on your teaching outline, or maybe you've got a notepad you're writing with. Take a moment and name your closest friends. Who would you write down? Who would be a part of your inner circle? We know Jesus, again, Peter, James, and John. He related with multitudes of people, but he had his inner circle. But take a moment and just name your closest friends. And then here's some follow-up questions when you name those people. Most of us, the list is not going to be super long, but maybe we can put some names on there. But take a moment and name your closest friends. And the next, how do you pray for one another? One of my closest friends, I was able to talk to him on Monday. We prayed together over the phone as I was coming into the church office on Monday morning. We're on the phone praying together. But how do you pray for one another, your closest friends? I hope those people who are that close to you in life, you have a time where you pray together. You pray for that person prays for you. How do you help one another grow in Christ? What does that look like for your inner circle? How do you keep one another accountable? In the world in which we live, we need people in our lives who are speaking truth into our lives, but also who are keeping us accountable in the Christian life. How do you support and maintain confidentiality? Somebody you can bear your soul with. And you know they're going to support you and they're going to be confidential as they can. But how do you support one another and maintain confidentiality? Jesus related with crowds of people, but he also stayed close with his inner circle. We do the same thing in ministry. We relate with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. But also we need those people who are part of our inner circle that we do life with. So that was the life of Jesus. Related with crowds, but he also stayed close with his inner circle. Peter, James, and John served and prayed with Jesus. Listen to that phrase. Peter, James, and John served and prayed with Jesus. Can you imagine what those men heard and saw as they lived close to the Savior of the world? And I just wrote out on the side of my teaching notes, they saw him. In heaven, one day we're going to see him face to face. Revelation 22:4. Can you imagine seeing him? Can you imagine hearing him? Hearing him talk to people who had needs, hearing him pray, have a conversation with the Heavenly Father, but they were able to see him and they were able to hear him. And then imagine this, they were able to touch him. I wonder what it was like to touch his hands. I wonder what it was like just to touch his shoulder. But they were able to see him, they were able to hear him, and they were able to touch him because they were a part of his inner circle and he lived close to them. And next, Simon Peter was one of the first followers of Jesus. He was also known as Cephas. That's his Aramaic name, John chapter 1, verse 42. Peter's name in Greek means rock. What did Jesus say in Caesarea Philippi there in Matthew 16? On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So Peter's name in Greek means rock. His name is mentioned at least 183 times in the New Testament. Significant person. Peter was a close friend of Jesus. He was an apostle and a key leader in the church. Here's some interesting facts, though, about Peter. Peter was impulsive. He was strong-willed and brash at times. You know any people like Peter? Do you have the personality of Peter? You're impulsive, you're strong-willed, and you can be brash at times. That was Peter. He would often speak first and think second. Anybody you know fit that description? And how do our lives relate to Peter? And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll speak first and we'll think later. Sometimes it's wise. Again, so the book of James says, "What be quick to listen and slow to speak." He's given us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And so, but Peter is always out front. He's always speaking out. And he's kind of the leader of the group. But how do our lives relate to Peter? Next paragraph. Peter was from Bethsaida in John chapter 1 verse 44 and lived in Capernaum, Mark chapter 1 verse 29. Both cities are located around the Sea of Galilee. I've got some favorite places on the planet, but one of those favorite places would be right in this area in the Holy Land around the Sea of Galilee. I could spend days upon days upon days there just looking at the water, reflecting on all the ministry of Jesus, what happened around the sea, and to realize that right out there on that water, what did Jesus do? He calmed the storm and he walked on the water as well. So they're right around the Sea of Galilee. Andrew, Peter's brother, introduced him to Jesus. We see that in Gospel of John chapter 1 verses 35 through 42. As you look at the personalities though of Peter and Andrew, they're very, very different. And we'll talk more about that toward the end of our study. But here's the question. Are we introducing other people to the Lord? Family members, neighbors, friends? How do we reach other people? Let me give you these blanks to fill in. How do we reach other people? One, kingdom relationships. I hope you've got relationships in your life that the purpose of those relationships, yes, you want to be friendly. You want to be compassionate and kind, but the purpose of those relationships is to introduce other people to Jesus. That's your goal. You want to help people. You want to love people. But at the end of the day, you want to find an open door so you can share the good news, the gospel, with somebody else. Kingdom relationships. Number two, gospel conversations. Somewhere you get into a conversation with someone and you transition that conversation from just everyday stuff in life to talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see the Lord at work. Today, before a meeting out at Trinity, had the opportunity, and I love him as a brother in Christ, Brother Glenn Kennedy. He's here tonight. And love his investment in pastors. The Lord's using him to invest in so many pastors here. So Chris and I had the opportunity of having lunch with him today. And we saw the activity, the orchestration of God as we were at lunch today. We go to Cracker Barrel and I get the same thing every single time. Brother Glenn gets the same thing every single time. And Chris jumped in with some meatloaf today. So, which was had to be good as well. But we sit down and this young lady comes to serve us. And, I said something about her name and just to ask her some questions about her life and so forth, where she's from and how long she's lived here, those type questions. And then I asked her about, are you involved in a church in our community? And she did give us the name of a church. And then I transitioned that conversation to her and I asked her about her personal relationship with Jesus. And she didn't know that. She wasn't sure about that. And so standing there at the table, I quickly shared the gospel with her. It doesn't take long. I shared the gospel about how much God loved her, how much she had sinned, how Jesus died and gave his life on a cross for us, and if she would call on the name of the Lord, she would be saved. And as I shared those things, here's what happened in her life. Standing right there at the table at Cracker Barrel, all of a sudden she starts weeping standing at our table. She starts weeping and then she starts fanning because she's getting, her temperature's going up, and she starts fanning and she's just weeping standing there at our table. And I called her by her name and I said, here's the amazing thing. And I quoted 1 John chapter 5 verse 13. That whoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall know that they have eternal life. And I shared with her, I said, for Glenn, for Chris, myself, if life ended for us, we know that we're going to be in heaven. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I've done good things. It's because of Jesus. And I said to her, I said, wouldn't you want to have that assurance? Wouldn't you want to know that? Tears flowing out of her eyes. And she said, I want to know that. And right there at the table, she prayed and gave her life to Christ. The Lord saved her at the Cracker Barrel today. And we just encourage her, say, you need to, June 26, 2024, Cracker Barrel, just about 11:30. You need to write that down and so that you can remember that because it become a spiritual marker in your life. Years down the road, you're going to look back and this was a defining moment where the Lord Jesus changed your life because the scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and you called on his name. She was overwhelmed. And then I asked her about reading God's word and she said, I don't have a Bible, don't have one. I said, we can change that. We'll bring you one. She said, are you serious? I said, we'll bring you a Bible. So we're going to take it to her in the morning and to give her a copy of God's Word. But gospel conversations. And when you look at Peter, again, called to be a fisher of men, kingdom relationships, gospel conversations, also with the church that we're talking about. I asked him today, we're studying in a fellowship hall there for a while, and I just asked him the question, how long has it been since anyone's been saved here on this campus? And they thought for a little bit, and they said it's been at least 2.5 years before anyone's been saved and baptized here in this church. And I said, a part of revitalization, seeing people come to Christ, baptized, get on the road to discipleship. And so pray for the Lord to save somebody out there for long. So, but kingdom relationships, gospel conversations. Number three, personal invites. Who are you inviting come to church? Angie and I were back at Cracker Barrel, maybe Tuesday night. Can't remember. We're all these places a lot. And again, we're witnessing to this lady who's serving us out there, and she's not connected to a church anywhere. And so it was, gave us an opportunity again to invite her to come to First Baptist Church. We have no hesitation to invite people to come to be here with us in connect groups and the worship gatherings and other ministries, but personal invites. Next, intentional prayer. Who are you praying for? Angie and I were walking this morning at about 5:30. We get out early. And so we're walking this morning and we're praying out loud as we're walking. And I just prayed this morning. I said, Lord, today will you give me an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody before this day is over? And little did I know, just a few hours later, he puts me in front of someone that we get to see get born again and get saved. And the Lord does that. Intentional prayer. Here's what I discovered. The more I pray for those opportunities, the more those opportunities seem to come. There's a connection between intentional prayer, who are you praying for by name who needs a relationship to Christ, and then selfless acts. How are you serving other people? And as you serve other people, then God will open the door to have a conversation with them about Christ. So are we introducing other people to the Lord? Next, Jesus said that Peter would die a martyr's death. John chapter 21, verses 18 through 19. That prophecy presumably was fulfilled during Nero's reign. Tradition states that Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. Here are two questions that I'm thinking about, I ask you to think about. Question one, what is it costing us to follow Jesus? If we're going to be his followers, there must be sacrifice involved in that. Because for Jesus to obey the will of the Father, it cost him his life. And so what is it costing us to follow Jesus? And next question, are we willing to suffer and even die for him? It's a big, big question. But what's it costing us, but are we willing to suffer and even die for him? It's happening all over the world, but are we willing to do that? What do we know about Peter? Here's just a few fast facts about his life. One, a fisherman by trade. Peter knew how to fish. He was a fisherman. He knew how to cast the nets, knew how to do that. So it was hard work. It required patience. Ministry is hard work. Ministry requires patience. Peter understood that as a fisherman, but also as a follower of Christ. Second blank, a disciple of Jesus. He was a follower. He was a learner of Jesus. That's who a disciple is. It's someone who follows and someone who learns from the Lord. Next, he was a powerful preacher. You just read Acts chapter 2 and you see Peter preaching the word, preaching the gospel, an incredible preacher. Peter preached under the unction of the Holy Spirit. That's a word we don't use much in our day, but it's a word that's extremely powerful. Preachers of old used to have the unction of the Holy Spirit. And so as we think about that, and I even think about my sermon preparation, even sermon delivery, I am praying day after day after day, Lord, when I stand before your people, will you give me recall, remembrance, and new insight? And Lord, will you let me deliver your word under the freedom, liberty, and power and anointing of your Holy Spirit? Why? Because Peter was a powerful preacher of the word of God. Next, a writer inspired by the Holy Spirit. Peter even talks about that. We'll see that in 2 Peter, but he was a writer inspired by the Holy Spirit. Next, he was a witness of the Lord's power. He saw the Lord heal people. He saw the Lord change lives. He saw the Lord calm storms. Just imagine what he was a witness to as somebody who was part of Jesus' inner circle. And then next, he was a recipient of love, prayer, and forgiveness. He was a recipient of those things. The Lord loved him. The Lord prayed for him, and the Lord forgave him. I think about Luke 22, and again, it's such a blessing to have you on Sundays or other times during the week, or send a text or an email, or just see you somewhere and say, I want you to know I'm praying for you, or I want to pray for you. But in Luke 22, what did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, I prayed for you. What an amazing word Jesus spoke into Peter's life. But he was a recipient of the love of Christ, prayers, but also forgiveness. We find major theological principles in 1 Peter. And so I want to give you these. I didn't ask you to fill any blanks here, but I want to give you these. And these are just some things you can walk through. Number one, we have a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Aren't you grateful that we have a living hope in him? He is the hope of the world. Number two, we're called to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. We need to pursue holiness. Holiness isn't weirdness. What does he say? Be holy because I'm holy. We pursue holiness. We live different from those in the world. And so that's what he's saying. Number three, the word of God is eternal. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And I am thankful when it comes to the word of God that his word is inerrant, it's infallible, it's authoritative. I'm grateful that the word of God will accomplish its purpose. It will never return void. It is living and active. So we understand the word of God is eternal. Four, the church is built on the living stone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It's on a solid foundation. Christ, the solid rock I stand. Number five, the submission to accountability is wise. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. It is wise to be accountable in the Christian life. The Bible talks about that. Number six, the sacrifice of Jesus redeems our souls. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 to 25. When you and I were lost, the Bible says we were dead in our transgressions and sins. But what? But Christ made us alive, or God made us alive with Christ. And so when we see that, Jesus' sacrifice, he redeems our souls. Number seven, we must be prepared to give a gospel witness. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Be prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Number eight, the Christian life comes with expectations and responsibilities. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Number nine, a devoted Christian life is guaranteed to have trials and suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. You can rest assured, when you live devoted to Christ, you're going to have trials, you're going to have suffering. Life's not going to be easy. Number 10, the role of a pastor is a high calling. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. It's not a vocation to pursue. It's not just something to do as a career. It's a calling of God. It's a high calling of him. Number 11, the Lord invites us to cast our cares on him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. When you and I struggle in life, we can cast our cares on him. Why? Because he cares for us. Next, number 12, the enemy is seeking to locate and devour God's children. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. That your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone whom he can devour. Number 13, the way we respond to spiritual warfare matters. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. Spiritual warfare is a real issue. And the way you respond, the way you prepare, the way you dress, those things matter. And then number 14, a peaceful life comes from knowing the Prince of Peace. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14. What does that verse say here in the end? Peace to all of you who are in Christ. And so if you want to have peace in life, then you must know the Prince of Peace. Next, what do we learn from Peter's life and relationship with Jesus? Let me give you these five things, then we'll pray. Number one, keep our eyes on Jesus. Not merely on our circumstances, but keep our eyes on him. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Keep our eyes on Jesus. You know the story when Peter walked on the water. Lord, will you let me come to you? And he gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water. And what happens? He's walking on the water for a little bit. And then he took his eyes off the Lord and saw his eyes on the circumstances. And what happened? He started going down and he said, Lord, save me. Prayers don't have to be long. Just, Lord, save me. And but the challenge, as we learn from Peter's life, is that we would keep our eyes on Jesus, on the Lord. How do you do that? And I've given you two kind of practical application points to that. One is stay in the Word. Stay in God's Word. Read His Word. Meditate on His Word. Pray His Word. Memorize His Word. And then seek to live out His Word. Stay in the Word. I shared with you a few weeks ago that my desire was to get a new Bible, and I was wanting to start reading from the New King James Version. I was able to accomplish that. Spent time this morning in that Bible, reading God's Word. In the morning, I'm going to be back in the Word again, reading it. But stay in the Word. Second bullet point, live above our circumstances. Job lived above his circumstances. And so when you keep your eyes on Christ, you stay in the Word, you can live above your circumstances. We all face difficult circumstances. But the challenge is make sure we don't merely look at the circumstances, but we keep our eyes on the Lord. I think one of the reasons you see Job and the way he responded, because he saw the Lord first and then he saw his circumstances. That's a wise way to live. You look at the Lord first and then you look at your circumstances. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want to do in my life? But you keep your eyes on Jesus. We learned that from Peter's life. He took his eyes off the Lord, started sinking. But the challenge for us, make sure you keep your eyes on Jesus. Number two, receive the Lord's forgiveness. Let me ask you, have you sinned? Here's a big question. What secret sins are you hiding? And I just challenge you, from Peter's life and his ministry, receive the Lord's forgiveness. He went to a cross and gave his life for us. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He wants to forgive you. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. What did Peter do? Lord, I'm willing to die for you. And what did Jesus say? Peter, you don't really know what you're saying. Before this day's over, the rooster's going to crow and you're going to deny that you even know me. And sitting around that campfire, I don't know who he is. Even using cursing words, I don't know him. And I think one of the looks that Peter must have experienced that was probably with him all of his days is when he denied the Lord, and the Bible says the Lord looked at Peter and he wept bitterly. But aren't you grateful the Lord forgave him? And I want to encourage you, if you've sinned and you're hiding secret sin in your life, confess that to the Lord and receive his amazing, marvelous forgiveness. How do you do that? Two practical things. One, understand the gospel. He shed his blood. He died on a cross. The pain of having nails pierce your hands and feet, a crown of thorns over your head, a spear piercing your side, the blood of Christ flowing. Why? That's the gospel. We find forgiveness and new life, hope in the gospel in Christ. And then second, confess our sins. What do you need to come before the Lord and confess before Him? You can do that with other people, but you can also do it in the privacy of your own life. Lord, I've sinned against you, and I need your forgiveness. In our staff meeting on Monday, we talked about some of the high-profile Christian leaders who have fallen over the last number of weeks. And we looked at the life of David, and David, a man, again, after God's own heart, committed adultery and murder to cover it up. But in Psalm 51, he's coming before the Lord. He's confessing his sin. And the Lord forgives him. I want to encourage you from the life of Peter. receive the Lord's forgiveness. Number three, relate to Jesus with a teachable spirit. Peter, a part of being of his inner circle, was always around him. He was always learning. Here in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying and they're sleeping. And Jesus seeks to teach him. Peter was always learning. Getting in a boat, going out on the water. Lord, we've worked all night, haven't caught anything. We'll throw the nets on the other side. Still teaching, still learning. Never lose a teachable spirit. Relate to Jesus with a teachable spirit. Never stop learning in the Christian life. Two practical points again. Get alone with him. When are you alone with the Lord? When's that time for you? Early mornings? Maybe the middle of the day? Late at night? What's the best time of your life you can give to him? But get alone with him. Listen to him. Read the word. Pray. Hear what he's saying to you. And then second bullet point, use the right resources. If you need help with resources about how to study the Bible and how to hear God's voice and how to relate with him and spend time with him, please, please talk to us. We'd love to have those conversations. We can talk about the resources that we use and the process of doing that, but get along with him and use the right resources, but relate to Jesus with a teachable spirit in the Christian life. Number four, believe Jesus sees potential in us. Believe Jesus sees potential in us. Here's what I would say to that. Your life matters to him. Peter's life. When the Lord looked at Cephas, Simon, that kind of given name, when he looked at Peter, the rock, the Lord saw potential in this man's life. He was strong-willed. He was impulsive. He was brash. But the Lord looked at him and said, I'm going to use him. I see potential in his life. Two practical points. One, live a life of surrender. When you relate with the Lord Jesus, relate with him with open hands. Lord, I've surrendered my life to you. I give you my life. I give you everything about me. Live a life of surrender. Second bullet point, discover your spiritual gifts. What are your gifts? If you don't know, contact us again. We'd love to put a spiritual gift inventory in your hands or your inbox that you can take and you can start discovering your spiritual gifts. It's good for all of us to do that some. I've done it multiple times. My gift mix tends to stay pretty much the same. But I encourage you to live a life to surrender, but also discover your spiritual gift because your life matters to him. And then number five, know that Jesus uses common, ordinary people. When you read the New Testament, who's he using? Fishermen. Tax collectors. He uses common, ordinary people. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, just common, ordinary people. But I can see this, you have been with Jesus. Just common, ordinary people. Because he gets the glory from that. Two bullet points, points of application. Ask for a servant's heart. Jesus, what do we see him doing in John 13? Washing the feet of his disciples. Ask him for a servant's heart. Lord, who can I serve? How do you want to use my life? And then second bullet point, serve for God's glory. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves. We're not trying to get famous. No, we want to serve for the glory of God. The life and letters of Peter offer us hope. And Ms. Dane and I were having this conversation this morning. The Lord can use your personality to bring him glory and reach other people. Isn't it amazing how he uses people of different personalities? This person is an extrovert. This person is an introvert. And what does the Lord do? He uses people. This person is strong-willed and brash and impulsive. And this person is very timid and shy and sometimes backward. And what does the Lord do? He uses different personalities. And just the way the Lord works. It's wise to learn from other people. But let me say this to you tonight. It's wise to learn from other people. But the goal is to be you. You don't have to be like somebody else. Just be you. How did the Lord make you? And here's the verse. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139 verse 14. And I close with a statement. The Lord wants to use you. He used Peter. Strong-willed, impulsive, brash. But he used him. And whatever your personality type, the Lord wants to use you. And relate with Jesus in an intimate way. Peter was a part of his inner circle. And you and I can live close to Jesus as well. So if we can help you with resources or help you how to spend time with him or help you with spiritual gifts, whatever it may be, you let us know, because we'd love to serve the Lord and serve you and help you understand your personality and your giftedness so that you can follow him and serve him and bring glory to him. Let's pray together tonight. Lord, we thank you for the book of 1 Peter. And thank you for Peter's life. And Lord, I do pray tonight that we will keep our eyes on you. I pray that we'll receive your forgiveness. I pray that we will always relate to you with a teachable spirit. I pray and thank you that you see potential in us, kingdom potential in us. And Jesus, I am so thankful that you use common, ordinary people. Because Lord, if you didn't, I just couldn't be used. But thank you for using those of us that are fearfully and wonderfully made, just common, ordinary people, to make much of the Lord and to serve him. So Lord, we thank you tonight. We appreciate this study of 1 Peter. And thank you for your word that's living and active. It's eternal. And we pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.